new series on Who is the Father. And what we hope to do through this series, so many times as I talked about at the beginning of last Sunday, so many times as Christians, we get this idea of the Father as just kind of the great judge sitting on his throne, just waiting for us to mess up so he can strike us with plagues and whatever else. You know, we think of the God of the 10 plagues that came on Egypt and all of these things. We have this skewed view of who God the Father really is. And so this morning and last week and throughout this whole series that we're going to be doing, we are hoping to show you who the Father really is. I'm here. I want to tell you the Father is holy, and he demands holiness in return. And the Father is the judge, and someday we will all have to stand before him. But the Father is so much more than that. Last week, we kicked off this series by talking about the names and the titles of God. We talked about the three titles of God that you find in the Bible: Elohim, Adonai, and El Shaddai. And these are titles, they're general terms for God, and they encompass not only God the Father, but the entire Trinity, the Godhead, three in one, working together. But the name of God the Father is found in Exodus chapter 3, and it's Yahweh. And God gives this name to the Israelites through Moses as a covenant between them and him, that he is now their personal God. He is not just the God of the universe, not just the creator God. He is a personal God that wants to be personally involved with the Israelites. And so as the spiritual children of Abraham, the father of the Israelites, as the spiritual children, that name is then passed on to us. And so through this series, through last week and this morning, what we've been looking at is those names, the compound names of God. Throughout scriptures, you see eight different times the name Yahweh compounded with another word that reveals to us, I believe, the nature of the Father and who he is and what he means to us in our lives. So last week, we looked at the first four. The first one was Yahweh Yireh. That is Yahweh Yireh. He sees our needs and provides them for us in his perfect timing. Yahweh Rapha heals us of every hurt or pain in our lives, whether it is physical, mental, or spiritual. Yahweh Nisi delivers us from the attacks of the enemy in our lives. And Yahweh M'Kadesh has chosen each one of us and set us apart to fulfill the purpose he has for our lives. If you didn't hear last week's sermon, a lot of what we're talking about today is based on that. I would encourage you, go back and check that out. You can get that online at mydestinychurch.com. But we're going to be talking about now the next four names, the compound names of God that you find in Scripture. And the next one that we see is found in Judges chapter 6. And any of you that have done any study, even just a cursory reading of the book of Judges, you find that there's a cycle throughout the entire book. Moses has passed away, Joshua has passed away now, they've come in, they've taken over the land of Canaan and are dwelling in the land. But what happens throughout the entire book of Judges is this, is that the Israelites obey God for a while and they live in peace and they live in prosperity, and then eventually they fall into sin, and it's usually worshiping the gods of the other countries, the other nations that are surrounding them, and they begin to worship those gods. And so God, Yahweh, allows other countries to come in and basically take over the Israelites and to oppress them for a certain amount of time. And during that oppression, the Israelites realize what they've done. They ask God for forgiveness, and they ask God to send a deliverer for them. And so God raises up a judge, hence the name Judges for the book. But it's not a judge as we think of one who sits in court. It's more of a deliverer, more of a leader, most times military leader, that comes and delivers the Israelites from the nations that are oppressing them. And so they get delivered, and then they live in peace for a while again, obeying God. But eventually, throughout the entire book of Judges, eventually they always fall back into sin, and the cycle starts over again. So it's during this time in Judges chapter 6 that God reveals this name. And in Judges chapter 6, we learn the story of Gideon. And Gideon is one of the more famous judges. But an angel appears to Gideon and says, God wants you to deliver the Israelites from their oppressors. And so Gideon lays out a sacrifice before God, lays it out on the ground, and the Bible says that a fire came from the angel and consumed that sacrifice. So in Judges chapter 6, verses 24, it says, so Gideon built an altar to Yahweh there and called it Yahweh Shalom. Many of you have heard Shalom before. It's a very common greeting in Jewish society. Many times, if you're Jewish, as you pass someone, you'll say shalom. And most of the times that is translated as peace, and that is the literal translation for it. And so this name, Yahweh Shalom, means Yahweh my peace, or Yahweh is my peace. But to a Jew, that word, Shalom, means so much more than just what we think of as peace. To a Jew, that term inferred almost a perfection in your living. When a Jew comes and he would say to you, Shalom, he's not just saying, may there be peace in your house. He's saying, may you dwell in the perfection of the perfect will of God that he has for your life. And so Shalom is not just, it's peace, it's contentment, it's happiness. It's knowing that you're living in the perfect will of God for your lives. Now think about the Israelites and what they were going through at this point as a country. This was a time of uncertainty. This was a time there was no centralized government. They were living as the 12 tribes of Israel, just kind of spread throughout the land, each family governing the way that they saw fit. And there was confusion. They were living in constant fear of attacks from their enemies, from the countries around them. There was no army to protect them. And in the middle of all this confusion, in the middle of all this doubt, in the middle of all this fear, God shows up and he says to Gideon, I am Yahweh Shalom. And Gideon realizes that the only way that you can truly experience peace, the only way that you can truly live in happiness and contentment and safety is by giving your life to Yahweh, by obeying him, by obeying his decrees, by obeying his commandments. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, true peace, true shalom, can come from no other source than Yahweh. And again, shalom is not just peace, it's contentment, it's happiness, it's wholeness. It's knowing that you are living in God's perfect will for your life. As I said earlier, as we were singing that song, you won't find that contentment, that peace, that perfection anywhere else. People have looked for it in all sorts of places throughout all of time. Men and women look for it in relationships with others. People look for it in money, in possessions, in houses, and being financially stable. They think, if I can just get financially stable, then I'll have that peace that I need in my life. The peace that comes in your mind when you know that God is in control. People have looked for that peace by experimenting with drugs. You can find that peace, that true shalom, nowhere else than in living in the will of God for your life, by obeying his commandments and by doing the things that he asks you to do as a Christian. If you could find it in wealth, then the wealthiest people in the world would also be the happiest people in the world. It doesn't take much walking through a supermarket and seeing headlines of all the tabloids to know that wealth does not bring you happiness. Drugs, even though it may last for a moment, do not bring you happiness and peace in your life. Relationships between a man and a woman, although they are God-ordained, if that's what you are basing your peace and your happiness in life on is your mate, then you're placing that hope in the wrong place. The only one that can fill that void, the only one that can give us true peace, true shalom in our lives is Yahweh. When you give yourself to God, he will give you that peace. Now, does that mean that everything is going to come up roses after that? That if we give ourselves to God, everything's going to be great and we're never going to have another problem, we're never going to have any other issues? No, not at all. In fact, later on in this same chapter in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, we like verse 13, right? You guys have seen this verse quoted by many people. I remember watching the big fight between Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson. You guys remember that one, the ear-chewing incident? Evander Holyfield comes out, and Evander Holyfield is a Christian, seems to be a really good guy, comes out, and on the back of his robe that he wears into the ring is that verse, Philippians 4:13. Unfortunately, we take that verse to mean that. We like to quote this verse, but we take that verse completely out of context. That verse is not saying, I can do all of these amazing feats of strength and all these awesome things through God. It's saying, I can do verse 12 through the strength of God. We like to quote verse 13. We don't like to quote verse 12 too much. But that's the reality of life. Sometimes you are going to be in need. Sometimes you are going to be hungry. Sometimes you are not going to have everything you need in every situation. But Paul is saying here that the secret to being content, the secret to experiencing shalom in your life is through Christ Jesus, who gives us the strength. When we place our hope in God, when we place our hope in Yahweh and in Jesus Christ, His Son, then it doesn't matter what our situation is. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter if your wife or husband picks up and leaves you tomorrow. Will it be easy? No. But your hope is not based in them. Your hope is based upon the Lord. Your peace and your strength and your contentment is based upon God. And so finances, you may go through ups and downs in your finances. How many have been there? You may go through ups and downs in relationships. How many of you have been there? And the deal is, do you allow that to control your happiness? See, the peace of God, when God gives that to us, when we give all of these things to Him and we say to Him, God, You are everything in my life. You are my strength. You are everything I am, and You can have everything I have. Then that peace of God that surpasses all understanding will rest on you. And only then can you experience true happiness. Only then can you experience the wholeness that comes from being in the will of God. And I can tell you, I've been on both sides. I've been in the will of God in my life, and I've been out of the will of God in my life. And there's no feeling in the world like knowing that you are living in the perfect will of God for your life. There's no peace that compares to that kind of peace. Now, does that make it easy? No, it doesn't. Sometimes when you're in the will of God in your life, you're going to have to make decisions that people are going to think are stupid. That other people are going to question why you're doing the things that you're doing. But when you trust in God and you go to Him with everything you have, with everything you are, and you say, God, it's Yours, and He tells you to move, and you know it's God telling you to move, then you can take that step of faith, regardless of whether it makes sense to everybody else around you. You can take that step of faith regardless of what your situation is in life. True shalom only comes from Yahweh. See, shalom is not about what we have. It's not about who we are with. It's not about where we are. Shalom is ultimately about our relationship with Yahweh. Yahweh is the only one that can give us that peace in our lives. The next name in Scripture is found in one of the most recognizable and beloved Scriptures in the entire Bible. This name is often passed over when you're studying the names of God, but it is definitely there. It's in Psalm 23, a psalm of David. This is the shepherd psalm. We all know this. And it starts out in the Hebrew, Yahweh Rohi, I shall lack nothing. Yahweh Rohi means literally, we have it translated in our Bible, as the Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh my shepherd is what this name means. And this scripture is so beloved and it's so well known. Rohi does not just mean shepherd, though. It's also translated in the Old Testament as companion or friend. Rohi, it means someone who shares life with someone else. No other vocation at that time illustrated this better than a shepherd. A shepherd did not stay in his tent while the sheep wandered around the wilderness by themselves. A shepherd lived day and night with his sheep. He lived with them. He ate with them. He drank with them. He slept there with them. He didn't go off by himself and leave the sheep to fend for themselves. There may be no other name in all of Scripture that more beautifully describes the relationship of the Father to us than this name. And no one else could have written it better than David, who was a shepherd as a boy and became known as the Shepherd King of Israel. I want to just read to you this psalm. It's not a real long one, and most of you know it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. See, the shepherd looks after the needs of the sheep even before his own. The shepherd guides the sheep along the best paths to keep them from danger. And even when they do have to walk through a dangerous place, the shepherd is there to guide them and protect them. Notice that it says, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. A shepherd didn't walk along behind a sheep. A good shepherd didn't walk behind a sheep, beating them, keeping them forward in front of him. A shepherd walked in front of his sheep, and the sheep followed along behind him. So the shepherd would never ask the sheep to go anywhere, to do anything that he wasn't already doing, where he wasn't already going. The rod and the staff were not there to beat the sheep. They were there to protect the sheep, to comfort them. They were there to protect the sheep from attackers, from lions and bears. Now, every once in a while, a sheep may get out of line and go off where it doesn't belong. It may get a whack upside the head with the rod. In our lives, there's times when we're doing things, going places, heading in the wrong direction. Sometimes God needs to take that rod and slap us upside the head a little bit. Say, get back in line, stupid. That's not where you need to be. But as a whole, that rod and that staff are there to comfort us and protect us and to keep us from the attacks of those that would like to kill us. In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now, to a Jewish person, Jesus saying these words, saying, I am the good shepherd, would automatically recall to them this verse in Psalm 23, in this chapter, this Psalm of David. He's basically, in a sense, almost quoting this verse. We learned last week that Yahweh, the literal translation of that is I am. And so he's saying, Yahweh, the good shepherd, Rohi. Yahweh, Rohi, I am the good shepherd. And so he's aligning himself with God the Father in this verse. And so that would have recalled to them that chapter and this verse and all of the things that went along with that. The Israelites were traditionally shepherds. They knew what it meant to be a shepherd. See, Yahweh wants to be involved every day in your life. He wants to live among you and be a part of your life on a daily basis. He wants to guide you and protect you from the dangers of life. And just as a shepherd was not only responsible for the flock as a whole, but for each individual sheep, this is the way it is with God. You see, Jesus tells the story of the lost sheep, and he says that a good shepherd will leave the 99 to go after the one that is out of place. See, God the Father, Yahweh Rohi, is not just concerned with the church as a whole, not just with Destiny Church as a whole, not just with the worldwide church as a whole. He is concerned about each and every one of you specifically. He knows each and every one of you specifically. He says, I know my sheep. Now, you put 10 sheep in front of me, they all look like cotton balls with legs. I can't tell the difference between one and the other. They all look the same to me. But to God, he knows each and every one of us in a more intimate way than anybody else in the world. He says, I know, Jesus even says that he knows the number of hairs on our head. Some of us, that's dwindling every day. But God knows, he keeps count. So God knows you intimately, and he wants to be involved in your life intimately. Sometimes that means that we need a little redirection. But know that as Yahweh Rohi, God the Father is constantly taking care of you, his sheep. He's constantly looking out for what is best for you. The next name for God is found in Jeremiah chapter 23. If you look at the chapter before this, Jeremiah condemns, he's giving messages condemning the previous four kings of Judah. And in the first few verses of this chapter, he condemns the shepherds of Israel. The shepherds would have been the religious leaders of the time, the priests, the Levites, the people who were supposed to be leading them in their worship of God. And he tells them, you've done a terrible job. It's horrible. And so after this is verses 5 and 6. The days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, Yahweh Tsidkenu. This name means Yahweh our righteousness. And the root word for this, for Tsidkenu, is Tzedek. And it's also translated as justification or acquittal. It's a legal term that refers to someone being found innocent. It's also used in the sense of fairness. The Bible says in Leviticus that your scales must be tzedek. Your scales that you weigh things on must be righteous. They must be fair. You shouldn't try to cheat people. And so to the Jews of that time, Yahweh Tsidkenu was a promise that their God was going to make everything right again. That Yahweh Tsidkenu was, that although they were being punished for their sins, he was going to come and acquit them of their sins and restore to them the freedoms that were being taken away from them as punishment. The Israelites had sinned, they were being punished for that sin, but Yahweh Tsidkenu was a promise that God was going to come and restore to them the things that they had been taken from. Now, in the USA especially, and in the modern world, we have this mixed up view that you ask someone what's going to happen when they die, and they say, well, I'll go to heaven, and hopefully my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. And that's completely false. You see, when we get to heaven and we have to stand on the scales of God, it's not going to be our good deeds on one side and our bad deeds on the other. It's going to be us, everything we are, everything we've ever done, everything we've ever said, every thought we've ever had, good and bad, on one side, and the standard that God has set of righteousness on the other. And it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how good of a life you've lived, we all come up short when we're put to that scale. We all come up wanting and lacking when we are compared to the righteousness and the holiness that God requires of us. The whole point of the law, of the giving of the Ten Commandments and all of the law, was to show us that there was no way that we could obey every single law, every single commandment that God has given us. We cannot do that humanly in our flesh. In Romans 3, chapter 23, Paul says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." What does that mean? It means we've all messed up. How many of you have ever told a lie? The rest of you just did, so you can raise your hand next week. We've all sinned, we've all messed up, and we come up short. We fall short, we can't balance the scale in our favor. It doesn't matter how many good deeds you do in your life, how many good things you do, you will never be able to balance that scale and earn your way into heaven. It's impossible to do. So how do we get there? How do we do that? Yahweh Tsidkenu provided for us a sacrificial lamb. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John, this is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, the punishment for coming up short on that scale is death. It's not just physical death, it's eternal death. Hell is a real place, and the lake of fire is a real place. And if you come up short on that scale, every one of us are condemned to that lake of fire for all eternity. But what happens when we accept the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb that God has given us, what happens is he comes on that time of judgment. He says, even though you're found wanting, even though the scales are not tipped and you are condemned to die, I have taken that punishment on myself. So I'm taking you off that scale. You stand over here, and I am standing in your place on that scale. And Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, is the only one who can balance that scale. He has taken our punishment upon him, and he has balanced that scale so that now we can enter into heaven. We can enter into a relationship with God, not based on our merits, not based on the things we have done, but on our acceptance of the substitute Lamb of Jesus Christ in our lives. That is how we get to heaven. That is how we get past that. And so Yahweh Tsidkenu, Yahweh our righteousness, has provided that lamb for us and has provided for us a way to enter into that relationship that He desires to have with us. The last compound name of God is found in the book of Ezekiel. Just a little background on Ezekiel. This book was written in Babylon. Ezekiel was taken captive by the Babylonians in 597 BC during their first raid on Jerusalem. They took a lot of the people and they took them back to Babylon, took the best of the best and took them back to Babylon to train them. And so Ezekiel was taken in that raid. And while in Babylon, God speaks to him and tells him, I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. And 11 years later in 586 BC, the Babylonians came in and did exactly that. They came in and they destroyed, they took over Jerusalem, they leveled the temple that was there, the temple of God, and they took the remaining Israelites and took them captive and dispersed them throughout the land. This name for God is found in the last chapter, in the last verse of this book, of this prophecy. They've been taken captive, the Israelites. It's one of their lowest points. They've been taken captive. The city has been destroyed. The temple of God has been leveled. But in the last chapter, Ezekiel prophesies that one day Yahweh will rebuild a new Jerusalem and that God will dwell in the city. And he says in the last verse, and the name of that city from that time on will be Yahweh Shammah. Yahweh Shammah simply means Yahweh is there. The Israelites had placed their hope in Jerusalem. And you see this as you study their history, that the Israelites believed there was no way that God would allow Jerusalem and the temple to be overtaken and to be overrun. They had placed their hope not so much in God, but in the fact that His temple was where they lived. They placed their hope in the fact that I go to church once a week, so I'm going to be all right. They didn't place their hope or their confidence in Yahweh. And so when this happens, when the Babylonians come in and they destroy the city and they level the temple, it threw the Israelites for a loop. It was like a sucker punch, just right in the gut. And they didn't know, everything they thought they knew had been taken from them at that moment. And they were taken into captivity and they were made almost slaves again. And so it's during this time in this confusion, in this questioning of God and what His will was and how He was doing things, that Yahweh speaks to a man in Babylon, the city of their captors, and tells them, Yahweh Shammah, in the middle of your confusion, I am there. In the middle of your despair, I am there. When you are questioning my existence, I am still there. What a powerful word to come from God at that point in their history. Paul says almost the same thing in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God will not remove His love from you. He loves us so much that He wants to be with us all of the time. He wants to be in our presence all of the time. Man, when you first meet that one that you love and you know you're going to marry, you want to be with them all the time. You don't want to spend a minute away from them, a night away from them, a moment away from them. You just want to be there with them. You don't even have to be doing anything. You just be sitting there watching reruns of MASH on TV, but you're happy because you're with the one you love. That's how God feels about us. He loves us so much. He wants to be with us every single day. Yahweh is there no matter what our situation is. He loves us and He wants to be with us when times are good and when times are bad. Yahweh's there. Don't think that just because things aren't going well that God has left you. Things happen in our lives that we don't understand. things happen and we begin to question whether God is even there. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's financial troubles and struggles that you've been going through in your life. Whatever it is, Yahweh Shammah. Yahweh is there in the midst of those troubles, in the midst of your greatest hurt, in the midst of your biggest disaster in life. Yahweh is still there. I heard a story of a family that went camping, and they went out and camped beside a lake. And one morning, the father woke up early, and he decided he wanted to go on a hike. And so he takes his son, who's about a year and a half old, and he puts him in the backpack thing, you know, that they have for hiking. And he takes off. He decides he's going to hike around this lake. And so he takes off around the lake, and he's hiking, and everything gets good. And he gets to almost the exact opposite point from where his tent is, and it starts to rain. He's like, great. So luckily he had a jacket. He takes his son off, puts him down, puts the hood up on his son, puts his jacket on, puts up the hood, and he's like, well, I got to just keep going. There's no point going back that way. So he keeps walking around the lake, and he gets to about three-quarters of the way there, and I mean, it is just really just coming down, and there's thunder and lightning, and the rain is pouring, and his son's on his back just screaming and hollering bloody murder, just scared to death. And so he takes his son off, and he realizes that his son's hood had come off. His son had pulled it off, and he's just getting pelted in the face with water and lightning, and his son's just scared. And so the rest of the way, he just takes his son, and he cradles him in his arm, and he's just holding him. And his son's still crying. His son still doesn't understand that he's out of harm's way, but he's still crying. And the father's just saying to him, you know what? I'm right here, buddy. We're going to make it. We're going to make it home. We're going to make it safely. You're here right with me. I've got you. We're going to make it. Now, years from that time period, from that point in time, if that kid is in therapy and somehow recalls that repressed memory, think about what his perception of that situation, of that time is going to be. He's going to be like, Dad, why did you let me go through that? Why did I have to go through that storm? Why was all the rain and the thunder? I was scared to death, and I was there by myself. I was all alone in the middle of the storm, and you weren't there to protect me. When the truth of the matter is that God was right there all the time. You may be in the middle of a storm in your life, and you may be wondering why God isn't intervening in your life, why God hasn't taken action on your behalf. I'm here to tell you, Yahweh Shammah, He is there with you, and He is cradling in your arms. You may not have the right perception, but God is there, and He's saying to you, we're going to make it. You're going to make it through this point. I am right here with you. All you have to do is trust in me. All you have to do is know that I am in control of this situation. We don't always have the right perception of what's going on around us. We don't know why we go through things the way we go through things. But in the middle of all of that, in the middle of your darkest hour, in the middle of your greatest hurt, when you feel like everyone else has abandoned you and turned their back on you, Yahweh Shammah, Yahweh is there. You are never alone. You are never on your own. Never once does God push you off in a boat and say, good luck, I hope you make it to the other side. Yahweh's right there with you every step of the way. I want to share just one more thing with you. God had told the Israelites way back through Moses that when they entered the land of Canaan and they had taken it over, that He would choose for Himself a place of worship. And that on that spot where He chose, that they would build a temple to honor His name. If you fast forward to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, King Solomon fulfills that prophecy. They build a temple in Jerusalem, and in the dedication of that temple, Solomon says that this temple is dedicated to honor the name of God, the name of the Father, that name being Yahweh. And the Bible says that the name of Yahweh was written, inscribed on the temple. This was the place that God the Father, the creator of the entire world, chose for His worship. It was built to honor His name. It was a monument to Yahweh. It was His dwelling place here on earth. The temple of Yahweh was where Creator God came and met with the people He had chosen. If you look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the New Testament, verse 16, Paul says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you. The last temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. There is no physical temple of God, of Yahweh, here on earth anymore. But Paul says that each of us are the temple of Yahweh. Each of us are designed and called to be the temple of God, to honor His name, to bring praise to His name. You are now a monument to Yahweh. We are now the medium through which the Creator God and Lord of the heavens and the earth speaks to the world. Yahweh has chosen you as His temple to bring honor to His name. Are you living your lives in such a way that does that? Are you living your lives in such a way that you bring honor to the name of Yahweh? It's a huge responsibility that we have as Christians. Don't take it lightly. Yahweh God has placed His name upon our hearts. He has inscribed in us His name and made a covenant with us to be our personal God. This morning, as we close and the musicians come, really just spent a lot of time in prayer just asking God, how do we need to end this? Pastor Gene will be back next week and take over this series. But as I've spoke the last 2 weeks on the names of God and the compound names of God, this is what I feel like we should do. Here in a moment, I'm just going to begin to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to pray the names of God. As I pray each name, if you need God to intervene in your life, to work in your life in response to that name, I want you to stand, and I'm going to say a prayer over you. I believe that this morning, as we're here, that God is going to begin to work miracles in your life. God is going to begin to reveal to you that He is not just the Lord of the whole earth. He is your God specifically, and He is involved in your life specifically. So as I pray this morning, like I said, if you feel like you need God to intervene in your life in that specific way, I want you to stand. I want you to stand, first of all, as an act of recognizing your need. And secondly, as a step of faith, believing that God is going to intervene in your life. Let's pray. God, we come to You and we thank You for who You are, for who You reveal Yourself to be in Your Word. And God, that You are not just Elohim, the Creator. You are not just Adonai, the Lord of the whole earth. You are Yahweh, and You are my God specifically, and You want a relationship with me specifically. So God, this morning I thank You that You are Yahweh Yireh. God, that You see our need and You provide for us the answer to that need in just the right time. So if you're here this morning and you have a need, I want you to stand. And as you stand, God, I pray that You will begin to set into motion the events that need to take place to answer and fulfill the needs of the people here this morning. God, that as they take that step of faith, that first step, and they stand and recognize and say, God, I need You to intervene in this situation in my life, that You will begin to put into place the things that need to happen to provide for them their needs. And know that God is faithful, and that if you will continue on and do the things that God has called you to do, if you will continue on your journey at just the right moment in His perfect timing, God will provide your needs. God is Yahweh Rapha. You are my healer. God, every hurt, every pain, if you're here this morning and you need to be healed, whether it be physical, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, I want you to stand. Yahweh Rapha, your God, is here to heal you. He is here to take away your hurt and your pain and your suffering. Yahweh desires us to be a whole. to be perfect in Him. And so, God, I pray that as these people have stood in faith, God, that You will begin to heal their bodies right now. That You will begin to heal their minds right now. That every hurt, every pain that has been caused in their lives will begin to fade away. And that You will bring a healing and a wholeness to them that they have not felt in many years, God. God, let as Yahweh Rapha heal us of our pain and of our hurt and of our disease. God, as Yahweh Nisi, You are my deliverer. God, You deliver me from every attack of the enemy on my life. And God, as those stand this morning that You need You to deliver them, I pray that they will raise their hands. Lift your hands up this morning as a sign to God that You are taking Your hands off of that situation. Whatever it is, You cannot do it on Your own. Yahweh Nisi wants to come in and work a miracle in your life, but He can only do it if you give it over to Him. So God, I pray that You will begin to work miracles in the lives of those that are standing this morning. God, that need You to come in and deliver them from the attacks of the enemy, that need You to come in and take over situations in their lives that they cannot control. And know that You are in control. Know that Yahweh is now working on your behalf, and He is going to deliver you from that situation in your life. God, as Yahweh M. Kadesh, You have called us out. You have sanctified us and made us holy to fulfill the purpose You have for us in Your life. God, as I pray for those that are here this morning, God, that are there, those that need to know that You have chosen them, that need to know they are not second string, that they are not leftovers, but that You have chosen them, You have called them, You have set them apart specifically for Your purpose in their lives. There's no one else that can fulfill the call of God in your life. You are God's number one choice. You are God's first pick. And so know that God has called you out. Know that God has made you holy. He has given you the tools you need to succeed and do the things that God has called you to do in your life. God, is Yahweh Shalom. You give us peace. A peace beyond all understanding. God, there are those here this morning that are just living in turmoil. There are those here this morning that are living in fear. God, You are Yahweh Shalom. And God, as we give that fear to You, as we give those things over to You, God, I pray that You will take those burdens from us and replace them with Your peace, with Your love, with Your assurance that we know we are following after You, that You are guiding us, that You are directing us. God, give us a contentment and a wholeness in knowing that we are following Your will in our lives. God, as Yahweh Rohi, You are my shepherd. God, You want to be involved in my life on a daily basis. God, You are constantly looking out for my needs. Some of you here this morning need to know that God is on your side. God is walking beside you. God has not left you. God has not forsaken you. God has not left you out here to deal with things on your own. God, as Yahweh Rohi, is leading you and guiding you in the path that you must take in your life. He is protecting you with His rod and with His staff. Yahweh Rohi is here this morning, and He is guiding you as your shepherd. He is with you, dwelling with you on a daily basis. God, we thank You that You are Yahweh Sidkenu. Right now, there are those that are here this morning that are living under condemnation of past sins in your life. If that's you, I want you to stand. God wants you to know that you no longer have to live in condemnation. That the sins that you have committed, the things that you have done, are gone. That Yahweh Sidkenu has provided for you a replacement. He has taken away your sins and has given you in place of those a righteousness that you cannot earn. And so the condemnation and the living under the struggle of sin is gone. You are no longer slaves to sin, but you are now free to worship God and to be in His presence. And so, God, I speak to those this morning that need to hear that, that you would break the bondage of sin in their lives, whether past or present, and that, God, that you would replace that bondage, you would replace that slavery with the freedom and the righteousness you have given us as Yahweh Tsidkenu. And God, as Yahweh Shammah, you are there in our darkest hour, in the times of our greatest hurt, in times of confusion. God, no matter where we are in our path in life, you are there. God, those that are here this morning that need to know your comfort in a real way, God, I pray that you will wrap your arms of love around them. God, help them to feel you in a real and tangible way, that you would whisper in their ear, it's okay, I'm right here, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through this storm together. I'm right here carrying you, holding you in my arms. Yahweh Shammah is there. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, Yahweh is there with you. You can have comfort and peace in knowing that He is with you in your life. This morning we're going to end with a song, and the verse of this song says, God, I look to you. God, you're where my help comes from. You're where everything comes from that I need in life. And so as we sing these verses, I want all of you to stand, and I want you to begin to claim the name of Yahweh in your life. Whatever situation it is you need, whatever thing you need, Yahweh is here to meet that need for you this morning.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do, yeah.
I will love you.
God, and you are their shield. You are their rock. So God, we lift your name on high today. If you will just press in a little bit more and just worship him with all you have. God, we look to you. God, we will not be overwhelmed. And God, we know that you are Yahweh. God, you are the I am. God, what we need is what you are. So God, I lift to you every single need in this building today. God, there are those that may not have stood, but God, their hearts are broken. God, their bodies are broken. God, their emotions are broken, but God, we lift them to you. And God, I just pray that you would rain like a flood in their life, God. God, I pray that you would just let your Holy Spirit come down right now. God, that there would be peace given where peace needs to be given. God, that there would be strength, God. God, that there would just be a healing that happens, God, in your name. God, there are ailments, God, that we can take to you no matter how big or how small. God, you are the God that heals. And so, God, I lift them to you right now, God, that there would be a healing take place right now. God, I just pray, if that's you, just lift your hands. God, I pray right now for healing in this building. Hallelujah. God, I just pray that you would just let your spirit flood this place right now, God. God, I just pray that you would shake this place, God, for you. And God, I just pray that the healing would happen, God. These hearts would be mended. God, the hearts would be mended, God, because of you. God, there's nothing we can do on our own that will fix it. But God, you can. So God, we look to you. God, we lift our face to you, God. We take our hands off and we step back and we give it to you every situation. God, financially right now, I speak to financial situations in this building. God, I just pray that you would give the provision that needs to happen right now. God, you know the situation, and I just pray right now for that to take place. God, I lift everything to you, every need in this house today. There is nothing too big for you. And God, we're going to lift our hands. And God, I pray your Holy Spirit would reign right now. God, that your Holy Spirit would begin to reign. And those that haven't felt you in a long time, God, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would just reign on them right now. God, from their heads to their feet, God, that you would be felt in this place. God, let your spirit come. Holy Spirit, we worship you, God, and we give you praise, God. We give you glory, and God, we lift our hands to you. God, we lift our hearts to you. God, we pray that you would reign. God, reign in this place today, God. Jesus, reign in this place today. Jesus, reign in this place today. Oh, Jesus, reign in this place today. Jesus, reign in this place. Every heart, God. Every heart. Every heart, Lord. Hallelujah, oh God. Hallelujah.
Continue to sing this part. Some of you need to take the next step of faith. I want to encourage you to step out of your seats. Come to the front and begin to sing this song to God, saying to him, God, I believe that you are reigning. I believe that you are on the throne and that you are going to come and intervene in my life, God. Yet I'm taking a step in faith and worshiping, even though my situation hasn't changed yet. I believe and I know that it is going to change because you are Yahweh, my God.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns.
Lift your hands, lift your voices, sing it to Him one more time. Let's hear the voices only. Hallelujah, God. Somewhere you have to go, I understand. God is here this morning. God is here this morning. And He's calling out to you. He's crying out to you and telling you to come. Telling you to come, and He will heal you. He will provide for you. He will deliver you. Yahweh is here with us this morning. I believe that if we'll just wait on Him just a little longer, I believe there's lives here that still need to be changed. I believe there's lives here that still need to be touched. There are healings here that is right here. If you will come to God, Yahweh Rapha will heal you this morning. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You don't have to come to have me pray for you. You just need to come as an act of faith. Know that God is going to meet you here with exactly what you need. This is the time. This is the day. This is the hour. God is changing you. He is changing our church. He is changing the city. Yahweh is real. He is here. Sing that one more time.
Hallelujah, our God. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever, all my days.
Hallelujah. this morning. God, thank you for the lives that you have touched. God, the lives that you have healed this morning. And God, as we leave here this morning, God, I pray that we will all understand that we carry your name with us out into the world, that there is a world out there that is hurting, that is in need of healing, that is in need of a personal God, and we are carrying your name to those people. God, that you are speaking through us as your temple. God, that we are carrying your name and honoring your name among the people that we come in contact with. God, help us to know you in a real and intimate way. Help us to recognize who you are and what you mean in our lives, God. God, that we will never take you for granted. We will never forsake you. But God, we know that you are always there with us, wherever we are, wherever we go. That we would honor you and worship you with our lives, God. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you all for being here this morning. It's good to have you. Amen.